You ever played football? No? No. One of the jobs of an offensive lineman, one of the jobs, I was a center, okay? And for a center, what your job is to do is the guy that's getting the ball from you is basically like a little baby, over-pampered, little wussy quarterback, okay? My job as an offensive lineman was to make sure that my quarterback didn't get touched. I took personal offense if somebody touched my quarterback. So I would snap the ball, and the person in front of me, I would try to knock them out of their helmet. It's just what you did. It's what you were supposed to do. Hi, Matt. I'm not going to hit you, though. I'm old now. So anyway, I was a protector of the quarterback. That's what I was. I have been a protector most of my life. I spent 20 years in the military. And before that, even as a little kid, I was a protector of my mom. Any of you guys ever been protectors of your mom? I have four older brothers. They're obnoxious brats. I was the good one. That's scary, isn't it? Emily understands this, right, Emily? She's the good one. Oh, hi, Sarah. My brothers, when I was like 6 or 7 years old, we had some neighbors, and there were twins, and then two guy twins that were my brother's age, and then there was another boy that his name was Todd McGackie, and he was my age. And my brothers would come home, "Rich, guess what? Todd's over there talking trash about mom." Todd'd be over in his yard playing. I'd go running over, and it wasn't like, "Are you talking about my mom?" No, it was full on ninja, "Let's go." I'd just start jumping on top of him and pounding the snot out of him. It's what I did. "Don't you ever talk about my mom." And then they, my brothers would be in the background going, laughing. I told you, I had bad brothers. When I was 3, I wanted my record player unplugged. That's those things that turn around, not a CD player, but they preluded a CD player. They're called a record player. Or let me get this to the right generation. Vintage vinyl. Is that better? Okay, so they wouldn't unplug my record player. So being a 3-year-old, you want the record player unplugged. You're not strong enough, really. So you just go reach down, you take your mouth, and you bite into the cord, and you unpull it. Yeah, whoever said a little kid can't move very fast never saw me slide across the floor. My brother's in the background. I hate him. So anyway, I've always been a protector. Now I've changed my tune a little bit. Now I turned into this other side of a person as an adult. Those of you that don't know, this is my little bunny Fufu. And I love my bunny Fufu. And if anyone ever tried to harm the bunny Fufu, they would find out the book of Revelation is real. Because they will get the bowl judgments and the foot judgment and whatever other judgment I will give upon them. It's just the way of the world. Do you understand that? Oh, you know what? I said that about her the other day. I posted a picture of this little rabbit on Facebook. The little rabbit had his face down like this right here, and it says, "All those little field mice," and I bopped them on the head. So anyway, I say this because I was once a guy. I know this is scary. I'm married now. I lost all rights of being a guy. I am now a husband and father, and that means you just do whatever your wife says. Someday I'll follow those directions, Ann. So anyway, let me tell you about me when I was your age. And again, I'm not saying this so that I'm bragging or something like that. I'm wanting just you to see where you can come from and still arrive at where you need to be. Because you got off the couch and moved. That's kind of what I had to do last night, was I had to get off the couch and move. Let's now go back in time and see where I was at as a teenager. As a freshman, on my birthday, my brother and sister-in-law, who I lived with, said, "Get out. You can't go there." I was supposed to go live with my dad then. He didn't come down to get me, so I ended up staying with my mom and her husband, Bill. And we lived in this little bitty town on the other side of the state of, just right across the river from the state of Iowa in this little place called Warsaw, Illinois. If you picture the state of Iowa, there's a little point in the southeast corner. I lived across the river from there. High school had 205 people. And here I am going into this school as a new kid. And I didn't really feel accepted by anybody. I mean, imagine getting kicked out of the place you lived by the people that you loved when you're a freshman in high school, and all of a sudden you're somewhere different and something's all strange. But anyway, I made friends pretty quick there. The reason I made friends pretty quick is because I was funny at one time, and I played a lot of sports. I was very athletic, did a lot of different things. Football, basketball, baseball, softball, you name it. If it involved some kind of a sport, and notice I never said soccer because soccer's not a sport for guys. Oh, that's harsh. Sorry. Sorry, I played soccer too as an adult, but that was just for fun. I only played goalie because I was too stupid to get out of the way of the ball. Oh, here, put me in the box. Oh, don't get hit with the ball. So anyway, no, I played a lot of baseball, though. I played a lot of basketball, too. I became very popular. As a matter of fact, I was so popular that at the end of my freshman year, I said, okay, I want to be on student council again next year. How do I get on? Oh, I run for an office at the end of my freshman year. So what would be a good office to run for as a freshman? Oh, let's go for vice president. I won that hands down without any competition, really. Then as my junior and senior years, I was the student council president. And it was a popularity vote is all it was. I even ran at the end of my junior year, going into my senior year, I ran against a girl that went on to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. And I beat her by over 100 votes. And she was a popular athlete as well. People love me. I'm huggable and lovable. I had a girlfriend all through high school. Her name was Melissa Davidson. I was actually engaged to her for a very short period of time. But understand, she was a girlfriend for the moment, because if I went somewhere, if I went to a convention or a sporting event and I met another girl, hey, how are you doing? And I would suddenly break up with Melissa long enough to go out with this other person, and then Melissa would take me back because I'm just that awesome. That's what she thought. I was an obnoxious jerk, is what it is. So therefore, that's why I'm very careful of whatever guy talks to Lacey, because I was once a guy that was an obnoxious jerk. That's why they will die. Right, Fufu? I have no problems going back to prison, do I? I grew up, though, and besides playing sports, I did work a little bit. I was a bag boy at Hy-Vee. And I also baled a lot of hay. Anybody in here ever baled hay before? It sucks. Okay, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. You don't want to do that job. It's like 100 degrees. You're dealing with hay, which is very itchy. So you wear longer sleeve shirts so that you don't get the hay all over you. And it's hot. It's like Outer Mongolia hot, okay? You don't want to do it. And you're wandering around in the fields, and most farmers are nice. They take the 75-pound bales, and they go through the machine, and it comes out in this nice square, and it goes right onto the wagon, and all you have to do is pick up the hay and put it and stack it. Not the farmer that I worked for. I worked for Lump Lump, the neighborhood chump, he would take and bale the hay and then come get me, and then I would have to walk on the ground, grab the bale, mind you, 75 pounds, grab it, lift it up, put it up on the wagon. Anybody here ever been to Valla's? You ever taken the hay rack ride at Valla's? That's how high the wagons were. So you're lifting 75 pounds off the ground onto the wagon. Then you had to jump up on the wagon, no steps, jump up on the wagon, stack the hay, and then jump back down and get the next set of hay. It kind of sucked in the heat. So that's how I made money. So when I wasn't playing sports or working, I drank a lot of alcohol. Wasn't very bright of me. I went into the military, had a chance to go play some college baseball, at a place called Quincy College. It's now Quincy University, or the University of Quincy, something like that. But anyway, I had a chance to go play college baseball, and I said, no, if I go to college, I will not accomplish anything. So I went in the military, because like I said, I've always been a little bit of a protector. So I joined the military, and I'm living the dream in the military. My first day on my first real job at my first real base, the guy in charge sits down, he looks at me, he goes, so, Airman Rudd, when we get off of work at 4 o'clock today, we go to the NCO club. And I said, okay, sir, I'm not old enough to drink. And he goes, I don't care, you will be there. And are you old enough to die for your country? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, then you're old enough to drink, just don't be stupid. So again, that culture of being around alcohol was part of my life. Now, I go back and I say, guys, I understood how to play church. Okay, I understand how to go to church. I was a Catholic school raised kid up through the sixth grade, and then I had a little problem because a nun made me mad, and I punched her in the face and in the stomach, and I was asked not to come back, and I ended up repeating the sixth grade because of that. I told you I wasn't always a nice guy. I'm still not a nice guy. I just have everybody snowed now, right, Matt? No. I knew how to play church. I went because I wanted to get promoted. I signed up to drive the bus on the base so I could go get kids for Sunday school. I signed up to go and read scripture at church because I was I finished second in the state of Illinois in public speaking. So I'm like, oh, okay, this will get me more points for my EPRs. This will help me get promoted. So I understand, guys. I knew I had a lot of Bible knowledge, and I knew how to manipulate it to what I wanted. So I continue on my story. I was sitting down at my house one day in 1990 watching a show. Has anybody in here ever seen Ricky Tikki Tavi? My son and I watched it together yesterday. It's like one of my favorite cartoons ever. Right, story of a mongoose and some cobras and stuff like that. It is like the bomb.com show. All right, love that movie. But that movie has a dark side to it that applies to me. Because as I was sitting there watching that movie, I get a phone call on August the 7th of 1990 saying, Airman Rudd, you need to get your mobility gear and you need to get in the office and you need to get in here right now. Now, I had been called into the office for things at various times, but never with the kind of urgency that got said. And as I was grabbing my stuff together, I kind of was flipping through the channels. I found out that Iraq had invaded the country of Kuwait. Now you think, well, Air Force guys, they go in after everything's already all done. Well, that's with the way it is with most Air Force places, except for the unit I was in. I was in something called Combat Comm. And that meant we went in first because we had all the communication lines and we had all the air traffic controllers. Those really cool things, you know, the tanks that the Army and stuff like that uses, they don't work too well unless you can get them on the ground. We had the air traffic controllers that got them on the ground. So we went over there. There were 8 live weapons in Saudi Arabia that belonged to U.S. forces before we landed. So a little bit of fear of the Iraqi Army wanting to come down and invade where we were at. And we were up in Dahran. So everything was going fine, and the war went fine for me. I did my job. I never really was afraid while I was there. Came back, had been dating a different girl for a while, and thought everything was fine. That didn't end up working out. After about a month of being back home, I broke up with her, and I was kind of looking around, and I found another person to go out with. And her name was Jill, and we kind of hung out for a while, and then she moved away. Well, my best friend and roommate was leaving to another assignment, and he lived up by me in Illinois. So I invited this girl, Jill's friend, named Angela, to our going-away party for Buckham. Well, I found out that she had been in a very bad car accident, and so she was hurt and she couldn't come. So we were kind of playing phone tag back and forth. We never got to talk. Didn't have cell phones back then, I know. I don't know how we ever lived. I drove back to Illinois, and I hung out with my best friend in Illinois for a little bit. And then, mind you, I'm on one side of the state of Illinois. as my Thompson friends can say, the University of Illinois is on the opposite side of the state, right? More towards Indiana. I got in with my friend Scott, and we went over to the University of Illinois, and it was New Year's Eve, 1991, going into 92, and we were talking, and we went to this to a guy that we went to high school with. His name is Jason, and we did a lot of drinking that night, a lot of drinking, way too much. Well, just before midnight, Jason comes out with a big bag of garlic. For if you're in my small group, you understand that. Garlic is the code word for marijuana in our small group. Long story, you have to go to our small group to understand. It's the girls that do it, not me. So anyway, they were going over everything, and he comes out with this big bag of weed, and I'm like going, whoa, 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 whoa. Instantly, from being a person that was intoxicated, I became a person scared to death, freaking out, because I said, guys, you don't understand. I go to jail if I'm caught with this stuff. And they're like, no, 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 it's a misdemeanor. I said, for you guys it is. I'm military. I go to jail as a felony arrest. Okay? I realized that day that something was wrong with my life. I needed to do something different. Well, I made it back to Georgia. And mind you, I was about four hours away from where my car was. So I was literally trapped in the dead of winter in Illinois. So I made it out of there safe. I got back to Georgia. I'd been playing phone tag with that Angela girl. Went out with her 25 days later on the 25th of January of 1992. We went and saw Hand That Rocks the Cradle and ate at Mazzio's Pizza where she used to work at. Valentine's Day rolls up. Now, guys, remember, I told you I was once a guy, right? You want to impress the girls, right? Are you guys, is that true? Am I lying on that, guys? You want to impress the girl you're with? So you have a little bit of money. You want to figure out, how in the world do I make this girl like me? I'm not stupid, contrary to what my kids think sometimes. So Valentine's Day rolls around. I'm like, how do I get her to like me more? Because I had already known that this was the person I was going to marry. Mind you, we had only been dating since the 25th of January. Valentine's Day is February 14th. So what I did was I sent her a dozen roses at work so that she got attention at work. Then I sent her another half dozen roses at work. Then I sent her some balloons and a teddy bear. Right? Is that right, Ange? No? Just balloons, or that was all at work? Oh, I brought balloons to her. Oh, and I brought her a teddy bear with a military uniform on it, and the rank that I put on it was one rank higher than me. And then it had one of my dog tags on it. So I was smitten by this girl. I went to pick her up that night, and girls take a lot of time to get ready. So I'm looking at her, and I brought another half dozen roses with her, the other half of the second dozen I was giving her. You don't look right. And she's just like, huh? I said, turn around a minute. And when she turned around, I had a ruby necklace in my pocket, and I put that on her, and I said, now you look right. Angela thought I was loaded. She's like, wow, I can't believe this guy has spent this much money on me. Because trust me, guys, it had been about $250 at this point in time that I'd spent on her for one date. And we had just started dating. What it was I had just got my income tax return check back. I was a broke airman, and I used my income tax return because I wanted this girl. She was mine. So I took her out for a 7-course dinner. Literally 7 different times the waiter or waitress came out and brought us different food. It was awesome. It was just a beautiful night. And I saw something different in her eyes as there was an eye opening. I was seeing something in her that she had not seen in herself. And at the same time, it was making me excited because the fact that I was seeing this kind of a transformation in her. from the way she had been treated before by other people that she had dated to the way that she was being treated by me. I ended up proposing to her within the first 30 days of dating her. Now, as I said before, guys, you want to find ways of spending more time with your girlfriend, okay? Especially one that you've decided you want to marry. So I figured, wait a minute, she goes to church every Sunday for 2 hours, and she goes to church on Wednesday nights. I'm looking at least four, maybe five extra hours I can spend with her during the week, every week, versus what I get to see her now. So I looked at her one day and I said, why don't you ever ask me to go to church with you? She's like, well, I didn't know if you wanted to go with me or not. And so she said, would you like to go? And I said, yeah. So remember, guys, I understood how to play church. I was a professional at it. All right. I had already traded in my amateur status. I was going pro. So I'm hanging out with her. By the way, Lacey, that's NOS if you want a drink. Can't have it, though. I'm out of Diet Dr. Pepper, so I had to switch. I need more energy. Can you imagine that? Anyway, so I'm with her at church one Sunday. It was like March the 16th of 1992, somewhere around there. And there was this evangelist up there, and he was talking. His name was Bailey Smith. And he's talking about a sermon that he had done in his past called The Highway to Hell. Now, you sit back and you go, wow, that's an interesting topic. I'm like, yeah, I think that is a pretty interesting topic. So as he's talking, he's telling the story about a smart aleck 16-year-old kid that was in the back of the room when he was preaching. I sit there and I'm listening to him. I'm going, I was a smart aleck 16-year-old. Guess what? I'm a smart aleck 47-year-old now. But there's a difference. So I'm listening to him talk, and he's telling the story about how this kid sat in the back of the room the whole time, making fun of different things he was saying and laughing and mocking him and stuff like that. And then he rolls up on the way out, and he goes up to him, and he goes, hey, how far away is that highway from here, preacher? And he left the church. Now let's flash back again to Rich Rudd in high school, smart aleck 16-year-old kid taking an ASVAB test, okay? An ASVAB test is a test you have to take to get into the military. Our high school used to make everybody take the ASVAB test because it kind of gave them extra practice for taking the ACT test later on to get into college. So I knew I was going in the military, so I had to take this test, and I'm sitting there in the room. There's being administered by a Marine. Are Marines nice guys typically? Or are they pretty tough? They don't have a very good tolerance for smart alecky kids. Would you agree with that? Thus, me in the room. I am in the back. I'm passing gas. I'm mocking things. I'm laughing. I'm making jokes. Again, I'm passing gas again. And this Marine rolls up on me. He looks at me. He goes, boy, you think you're funny, don't you? I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I think I'm hilarious. He goes, you're probably the class clown, aren't you, boy? And I said, I happen to be the student council president. He goes, yeah, and I'm Mickey Mouse. Wrong thing to say, Bubba. I called the guidance counselor over. I said, Mr. O'Day, I said, who's the student council president? And he goes, you are, Rich, have been for the last 2 years. I looked at the Marine and said, how you doing, Mickey? Again, I was not a very smart kid. Now we're going to flash back to the talk that Bailey Smith is giving. I pictured myself as that 16-year-old kid. I had proven that I was that 16-year-old kid. We have a problem. Bailey Smith went to a restaurant to eat dinner, kind of brushed off the kids' conversation, got called out by a deputy sheriff, came and got him from the restaurant and said, I need you guys to come with me. Went to the scene of a car accident where they saw the body of that 16-year-old smart aleck kid in the back of the church. They saw him laying on the ground dead. And the preacher looked at him. I mean, the officer looked at the preacher and said, "Are you so-and-so?" And he goes, "Yes, sir." He goes, "I want you to know the last thing this kid kept saying over and over again was, tell that preacher I'm sorry." They got in the car. They left the scene of the accident to the church. It was 3 miles. And I sat there in the room that Sunday morning, and I was like, holy shnikey, something's up. I realized I had been playing the game of church for a long time. I had to get off my butt and change what I was doing. So I accepted Jesus that day, rolled on, had some ups and downs all throughout my adult life, but I was in a place where now we talk. When Angela first met my best friend's dad, he says to him when he finds out I've been doing some preaching and doing things, he goes, "Ha, ha, ha, Rudd, you think they'd like it if they could see a picture of you laying in my utility room with your head on a butcher block and puke all around you and empty beer cans? Ha, 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 ha." I'm like, actually, Gene, I wish I had a picture of that. Because I'd like to show people how somebody can be so stupid and move their life around. I came to a conclusion that what I had actually been trying to do was trying to fill what I was doing with alcohol, with girls, with whatever, with sports, when I really needed my life full of what God had for me. So I roll back to me sitting on the couch yesterday. Love seat, sorry. Sitting there going, man, it's 6:30 at night. I've only got 2370 steps in. 2,370 steps in. I got to get to 10,000. I could choose to either just take the day off and not do it, or I could choose to move my butt off the couch and get to what I needed to do. So I chose to get up and get accomplished what I needed to get accomplished. Your walk with Christ is the same way. You have a choice. You can sit your butt on the couch and stay comfortable and watch whatever's on the TV, or you can get off the couch and you can move for God. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a pajama day of doing nothing. But there is something wrong when you don't spend at least a little bit of time with God. Too often we find ourselves in situations like, and I had to change my analogy, Matt, because I said, can you imagine being, you know, let me ask you this question right here. Kendall, hi. Why do we sin? It's fun too, isn't it? Let's not lie about it. Last hour I said if sinning was an algebra final, who would jump up and down and be ready to do it? And Matt's over here. Oh, I would, Mr. Rudd! Okay, so I change it. If sinning was the same as taking a chemistry final, who would jump up and down and go, oh, chemistry, yay! Would you actually do that, Caitlin? No. No, we sin because it's fun. Okay, we sin because we enjoy it. It's a good time to sin. Emily. Emily's a smarty pants, just so you know. Caitlin's a smarty pants too. Okay. Emily and Caitlin, Miss Smarty Pantses, can you just roll up on a chemistry test and go, yeah, 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 I'll ace this bad boy? No, what do you got to do? Huh? You got to study for it, don't you? Lacey, how many hours did you spend studying, not just for your chemistry tests, there before the end of the school year, before the end of the second semester? Yeah. She was going every day for like 2 weeks prior. She was going to like Scooters or Starbucks or Taco Bell or something with her friend Taylor, and they were studying nonstop. They were busting out the books and they were going through things. We even researched things on YouTube to see if we could help you memorize, what were those things called? Ions. And the properties of the ion. And we found some stupid thing out there that said, what was it, Ernie? It was about a camel. And he ate some different things. And if you watch the video of it, you could understand, you could go by, Nick the camel. Nick the camel, you knew that N stood for nitrate, and nitrate, wasn't nitrate, Lacey? Nitrogen, was it? And it has an N, and then it has three consonants in it, N, C, K, are consonants, and those were the number of oxygen ions in it. So it's N, O to the third, and then it was a negative one because there was a vowel. And it worked out for these learning these different things. It was really kind of cool. I throw these things to you not to sit there and make you go, what are you talking about? No, it's to get you to understand. You got to spend some time and figure out what he's saying. You got to spend some time with God and figure out what it is that he's trying to tell you. You can't just roll up and go, well, God, I'll just follow whatever you say and then just leave it at that. That's like walking in on that chemistry test without ever studying or opening a book for it. It doesn't work that way. And the last thing I'll tell you, we pray from the heart to God because that's a way of openly confessing to him and for you to acknowledge in your mind exactly what kind of things you're struggling with. He knows it already, but he wants you to say it to him. And don't pull the Lacey method, okay? This is my daughter that I love so much. Daddy, can I have a hug? Huh? What do you want, Lacey? I just want a hug, Daddy. And she gives me a hug. And then she goes away, and then she comes back. So, Dad, I was thinking, Emily called, and she wants me to do this over here. Dad, what do you think? Do you think I could do that? Because I really haven't hung out with Emily in a long time. She butters me up. And she does, and don't even try to deny it. Here, let me get an impartial vote. Angela, does Lacey butter you up? Butter us up? Yeah. And don't any of you girls dare say you don't do the same thing. Exactly. You reach out there and you do that buttering up. How many of you guys butter up God? God, you're so awesome. You're the greatest in all of history. You're so magnificent and you're all powerful. God, I did not study for this chemistry test today. Please help me with it. Yeah. Yeah. Put in a little effort. Put in a little effort with God. You'll be surprised at what you can accomplish. And like I said, it's all on you. God doesn't need us. We need him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much, God, that you can talk to us about how we can go from one location to another in our lives. That you can transform us. That you can create in us anew. Thank you for all that you do for us, God. I pray, God, that these young men and women in this room will get up off the couch and move for you. Get up out of where they're comfortable at and take a step towards you, to walk with you, to follow your direction, and to listen to what you're saying to their heart. I pray for them as they continue on in the many things that you have planned for them, God. God, you have a purpose for each and every one of these young folks in the room. I pray, God, that you will help them realize what that pathway is so that they can follow it with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.